From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's Justified by 3/4 of a length. Baldoro trying ever so hard, but Justify, another exhilarating exhibition by the supremely gifted athlete. He's on a dizzying ascent to greatness.
Oh, what a one this is! It is Vino Rosso in front. Enticed continues to battle it, but Vino Rosso's getting away. Restoring Hope is third. Vino Rosso, Fantastico, in the one memorial.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com.
It's Lone Sailor, Noble Indy, My Boy Jack, toward the rail, Noble Indy, and Lone Sailor, Noble Indy, to win the Louisiana Derby.
Good Magic with the lead. Flame Away giving everything he's got, but second. Sporting Chance third. Free Drop Billy in fourth. Linden Citizen fifth. Good Magic to the front of the field in the Toyota Bluegrass.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Good morning, HRN Nation, and welcome to the Kentucky Derby Day edition of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron, Mike Penna, the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, who are at Churchill Downs. They will bring you our award-winning coverage of Kentucky Derby 144 a little later on this afternoon. I have been up since 4:45 this morning because even at the ripe old age of 41, Kentucky Derby Day brings out the emotions of a 10-year-old and the actions of a 10-year-old. I could not sleep. I had a tough time sleeping. It's been a crazy few days here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brought you fantastic Kentucky Oaks coverage yesterday, a fantastic renewal of the Run for the Lilies as Monomoy Girl and Wonder Godot literally and figuratively duked it out through the stretch beneath the Twin Spires at Churchill Downs, with Monomoy Girl coming out on top. Her trainer, Brad Cox, is going to join us in the first segment after we open the show right around 8:15, so it'll be good to hear from Brad. We got a few words from Johnny Velasquez as well. He was on Wonder Godot. Get you a quick soundbite from Johnny as well. That, of course, the appetizer to today. Kentucky Derby 144, a field of 20. And I got to tell you, I've been in this game my entire life. I cannot remember a deeper Kentucky Derby field. Two men looking for win number 5 in the Kentucky Derby. That's trainer Dwayne Lucas, who has long shot Bravazo, but you can never count the coach out. And, of course, Bob Baffert. He brings in a long shot in Solomini, who a little bit of a different angle for Zayat Stable this year. Came here 3 years ago with the favorite and eventual Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah. Now they're coming in with a pretty big long shot in Solomini, but, of course, all eyes in the Baffert barn on the undefeated Justify, who will look to win the Kentucky Derby in just the fourth start of his brilliant young career. He'll try to do so in 77 days, and more importantly, break the Apollo curse. Since 1882, no horse has won the Kentucky Derby without having the benefit of racing at 2. He's looking to buck a lot of history later on this afternoon. Post time for the Derby right around 6:50. You'll hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The action starts at 2 later on. It can be heard on Sirius XM 93. Mike Penna, Kurt Becca, and our entire HRN team at Churchill Downs. Starts at 2 o'clock with the undercard. Goes straight to 5 o'clock when our coverage of Kentucky Derby 144, presented in partnership with Westwood One and NBC, kicks off at 5 o'clock, 5 to 7:30 tonight for our Derby coverage. A fantastic card, 6 excellent stakes races on the undercard. We'll talk about those throughout the show today. Got a great lineup of guests for you this morning as well. Like I said, Brad Cox is going to join us in the next segment. Earlier this week, the Baron, Mike Penna, who is putting the finishing touches on the undercard and Kentucky Derby broadcast today. That's why you get to spend a couple of hours on Derby morning with the Big A. He caught up with Todd Pletcher and Tom Amos earlier this week. Todd Pletcher, of course, looking to go back-to-back in the Kentucky Derby. He has 4 runners from the inside draw out. Audible in post 5. Magnum Moon, another Apollo Cursor looking to break that 130-year-plus hex, if you will. And then a couple of long shots in Vino Rosso and Noble Indy. And, of course, Tom Amos has long shot Lone Sailor, who almost upset the apple cart in the Louisiana Derby 6 weeks ago, right after the passing of his owner, the beloved Tom Benson down in New Orleans, the owner of the Pelicans and the New Orleans Saints. Tom Benson, a big, big player in horse racing, especially down in the New Orleans area, and Tom had a great relationship with him. Tom will look back on that and talk a little bit about Lone Sailor and what it would mean to win Kentucky Derby 144 today for the late Mr. Benson. My ExpressBet Radio tag team partner for the last 6 months, Steve Grabowski, is going to join us to talk Kentucky Derby 144. We'll hear from Mark Otto from Red Brand Fence, and we'll hear from the Baron himself, Mike Penna, in the final segment of the morning. He will check in live from Louisville to let us know what's going on. I could let you know that a few Derby runners hit the track this morning. Training at Churchill Downs wrapped up at 7:30, much earlier than usual. But, of course, post time for the first at 10:30 today. So they have to get the track ready for the racing. But there was some footage of my boy Jack and Bravazo and Hofberg on the racetrack. Hofberg's going to be my top pick. We'll talk about that a little later on with Steve Grabowski as well. But I'm going with Hofberg today. I think Bill Mott, who is not one that normally gets Derby fever, has a good one on his hands. Bill Mott won just 7 horses in the Kentucky Derby in his brilliant Hall of Fame career. Hasn't run one, I should say. A little early for the big A. I apologize. I might botch the words and put them in the wrong order. Mott has not run one since Hold Me Back in 2009 when Mind That Bird posted a huge upset in the Run for the Roses. You may want to keep an eye to the sky. Speaking of Mind That Bird, some rain in the Louisville area. I know it was raining already, according to some Twitter reports down there. And, of course, you believe everything you read on the internet. So, a little rain already in the area in Louisville. Fantastic Oaks card yesterday. Big win by Monomoy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks. We may have seen the emergence of a new handicap horse and star in that division is Backyard Heaven. Made his stakes debut, a powerful winning one in the Ali Sheba. Beat Good Samaritan and a few others, including Always Dreaming, the Kentucky Derby champ, who has yet to win a race since taking the roses last year in the slop at Churchill Downs. Did not run particularly well yesterday afternoon. Always good to see a Derby winner in training at 4, but we'll see what the connections do moving forward with him. Salty got a grade 1 win in the La Trienne. Abel Tasman, a little bit of an interesting trip in her return from a second place finish in the Breeders' Cup. Distaff behind Forever Unbridled last year. Mia Mischief got the money in the 8 bells. And perhaps the biggest upset of the day was Tonyette, who ran down a game. Rushing Fall, who was a little bit out of her element yesterday. Rushing Fall and Daddy is a Legend hooked up a lot earlier than I think most people expected, including me. And Tonyette ran them down in the last jump and a half to take the Edgewood. And the gentleman who's going to join us after the break, Brad Cox, got his Oaks Day off on the right foot when Will Call swooped the group to take the Turf Sprint. So we'll look back more on Oaks Day. We'll get you set for Kentucky Derby Day 144, and we want to get you involved, HRN Nation, so we have a poll question today, and as you'd imagine, the Equine Forum poll question of the day on Kentucky Derby Day is going to be pretty simple. Who do you think is going to win Kentucky Derby 144 this afternoon beneath the famed Twin Spires at Churchill Downs? Tweet us at HRRN. You can tag me if you like. I'm at the Big A Stabil. And we'll read some of your responses on the air throughout the morning here on the Equine Forum, a loaded Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com. Coming your way when we come back after our first break, you'll hear from the winner, winning trainer of Monomoy Girl in yesterday's Kentucky Oaks, Brad Cox. He joins the program when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
Brody's Cause, a grade one winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000 while defeating grade one winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamradal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Gulfstream Park is just heating up. Catch thrills at every turn as we race Thursday through Sunday until the end of September, which includes our annual Florida Sire Stakes Series and the Summit of Speed. Featured this year is our Summit of Speed Handicapping Contest, the Seize the Speed Betting Challenge, on June 30th. And, backed by popular demand, is our free summer concert series. Don't miss a beat. For our full racing schedule and to learn more about upcoming events and concerts, visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and it is Bonnie Girl taken on by Wonder Godot. But here comes Midnight Bizou, and she's charging down the center of the track. Wonder Godot in front. On the inside, Bonnie Girl fights on. Midnight Bizou is starting the far outside. It's Wonder Godot, and on the inside, Bonnie Girl, it's down to these two, and it's going to be Bonnie Girl in the Kentucky Oaks over Wonder Godot. And then a photo between Midnight Bizou and Eskimo Kisses in a final time of 1 minute 49.13 seconds.
Larry Colmus getting himself pumped up and primed for Kentucky Derby Day with a fantastic call in a fantastic renewal of the Kentucky Oaks yesterday afternoon beneath the Twin Spires at Churchill Downs. Welcome back to the Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A filling in for the Baron and the Pontiff. Nice enough to join us this morning after a busy Friday afternoon at Churchill Downs. I guess it doesn't matter, Brad Cox, if you're busy, as long as part of being busy is getting that picture taken. Congratulations on a great Oaks Day, Brad.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for having me. Yeah, busy day, and it was a great day. Very memorable day.
Let's go back to Monday. Post-draw for the Kentucky Oaks. Not like the Derby where you're too worried about post, but I'm sure you weren't thrilled when Dan pulled 14 and Ben pulled Mona Moy Girl out of the pill bottle and the entry box.
Yeah, no, it was not really what we were looking for, but honestly, immediately someone said at the table, said, oh, we got to take back now, we got to take back. I heard that and I said, no, we don't. We do our thing and we don't try to change anything. You don't get in the way of a fast horse, and that's what she is. And she's fast, and she can carry her speed, which she's shown us over the last 6-7 months. So tremendous filly, very proud of her. And you know, honestly, when you did pull the number, I thought I got to put a positive spin on this somehow. And the only thing I could come up with was it's a pressure through the post. We can kind of press horses as opposed to being pressed. Blount did an excellent job of, you know, getting her out and getting her in the position she needed to be in. So. You're always concerned, or you break it down, whatever post, you know, who's inside of you, outside of you. So, you know, you always try to break down the race, handicap the race, and, you know, it was a huge effort, and it ended up not really affecting us, the post.
I'd have to imagine, Brad, when you have a filly as versatile as she is, two wins on the turf to start her career. She's won on the pace, off the pace. That bad post is kind of negated by all that good stuff, yeah?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I thought we learned more about her in the Rachel than we did any of her races just because she broke, you know, hind end, looked like kind of slipped out from underneath of her a little bit. She kind of hit the gate a little bit that day. But with that being said, you know, she had to obviously pass all the horses in the race. I never thought we'd be last going into the first turn that day, but we were. And like I said, it could have been, you know, definitely give us a little more confidence with her moving forward. And we learned even more about her yesterday. She really got in a dog fight. Last time she was in a dog fight, she was a head short. Come up a head short. Yesterday she come up half length in front. So, you know, she showed the ability to fight off another horse and even get passed down the lane and battle back. So, you know, tremendous effort.
What made you start her on the turf, Brad?
You know, she's never she obviously showed talent and ability, but she was not very fast out of the gate early on. And at that time, they were not running route races on the dirt. And I thought, you know, if I run her short, I think she's probably going to get left. And with that being said, I thought, let's just run her long. She'll be able to put herself, or you know, they won't get away from her. And, you know, she can run at him at the end, or she can even be in the race early. That's really where that comes from. You know, it's just her ability just kind of flow out of the gate. It's not very fast. So, it worked out really, really well. You know, the way we brought her into the race, you know, started her out and whatnot. So, it worked out good. So, and then the second start, you know, the race was there at Churchill. But, you know, obviously she won on the surface. We'd give her a start. And we actually, our third start, you know, she won the Rags to Riches. But we thought about going to Belmont for the Chelsea Flower. And it looked like the weather was going to be a little rough. And the race was coming up deep field with a large deep field. We briefed her. You know, she continued to breathe well on the dirt. We thought, you know, let's look at this thing. It looked like she was going to be the favorite, and I believe she was the favorite that day. So we decided to give her a shot on the dirt, and we never looked back with her.
It's amazing how timing and, you know, how people think it's easy to train a racehorse, but how timing and all this planning, you mentioned the Chelsea Flower, that we actually canceled at Belmont that day. It was closing day at Belmont. They actually canceled. So who knows what kind of route she'd have to take to get to where she is now. And that is clearly at the top of the three-year-old filly division. We're talking with Brad Cox, trainer of, among others, the Kentucky Oaks winner from yesterday, Mona Moy Girl. She almost wasn't the Oaks winner, even though she passed the line about a half length in front of Wonder Godot. What's going through your mind? Because the celebration that we saw on NBC I've been a fan from afar from a while, but I felt like after the celebration, we definitely need to spend some time together in Saratoga this summer. what goes through your mind when they start to proverbially blink the number in a race the magnitude of the Oaks?
When they what, Anthony? I'm sorry.
Well, they were blinking when the inquiry sign went up.
You know, when I watched the race in lifetime, I kind of saw the bump or the graze, you know, or whatever you want to call it. They kind of brushed each other. I think to say they brushed each other a little bit would be a fair, you know, way of looking at it. And then I saw the head on, and I thought, you know, they did kind of brush a little bit, but I didn't really think either horse was, had to alter course or anything. And you know, we were, I'd say, you know, a half length in front at the wire. So I felt pretty confident that we would stay up, but you never really know. And obviously, you're not the one making the decision. But it definitely was. You know, made me a little nervous, but, you know, and after watching the replay, I felt, like I said, pretty confident that her number would stay up. And, you know, I believe that the connections of the other filly did what they were supposed to do. And, you know, obviously take a look at it, you trace, and obviously Florent felt pretty confident that we'd stay where we are once he, you know, got back and was able to talk to the stewards. So, you know, it was definitely a little anticipation there waiting for this to become official.
You had Sassy Sienna and Kelly's Humor as well in the Oaks. How did all three fillies come back from the race yesterday?
All of them looked great this morning. I think it's a testament to how sound those fillies are and how good the racetrack was yesterday. I think we ran on a really good surface, has been good here at Churchill, and all three fillies are very sound, and they all look great this morning. So all three ran very, very hard. Sassy Sienna helped close to the pace, just, you know, never gave up. I mean, kept fighting, and Kelly Jr. maybe, you know, had to weave in and out of a couple horses down the lane, maybe didn't get the clearest trip, but had a good account of herself. I think we may shorten her back up and give her a shot somewhere down the road, shorter distances, maybe around one turn, but hopefully she will move forward when we get her back to anywhere between 7 furlongs in 1 mile.
What's next for Mona Moy Girl?
You know, I guess looking forward, the spot would be the Acorn. That would be something we could look at. And then, you know, I don't know. We'll talk it over with Saul and Michael Dubb and just kind of, you know, see, you know, kind of work from the Breeders' Cup backwards, obviously being here at Churchill this year. And you know, the Acorn's a really prestigious race, and it's a race we were third in last year at Dinner Island that we thought we really had a good shot at winning. But it's a great race, and it would be nice to, you know, add that to her resume and, you know, ultimately try to make her champion 3-year-old.
I know she gave you your first grade one win in the Ashland, and now she gave you your second in the Oaks. I imagine that special place in your heart for her grew a little bit yesterday.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it was a tremendous, you know, tremendous accomplishment for this filly, and you know, it would be awesome to make her a champion 3-year-old filly, and you know, we would definitely need to accomplish a little more this year. I feel like to get that done, because I'm sure there's going to be other fillies, you know, lots of great fillies out there. Winner Godot, Caledonia Road's coming back, and you know, we gotta keep, you know, showing up in these races and putting together a nice resume. She's already put together a very nice resume, but obviously we got to continue to build on that. And, you know, I guess we come out of it in great shape this morning, so hopefully onward and upward.
I was going to say, you want to accomplish more of this. She's already accomplished a lot. You're having a fantastic year, winning right around 30%. Wherever you go, it seems. Talk a little bit about the team and just the fantastic start to 2018.
Yeah, we've had a good start to the year. It's, you know, we've got a great team in place, stable at Churchill, Keeneland, Indiana, and Belmont. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to, is great help and really nice horses and clients that allow you, you know, trust you with good horses and great stock and
allow you to place them where they can be competitive. And, you know, if one's not ready to run, we're not forced to run. If one needs time, we give it time or whatever may be the situation. But especially what it comes down to is, you know, evaluating the individual and trying to make the most out of each horse and place them in the proper spots and run them when they're ready. Not when we're ready, not when the trainer's ready or the owner's, not when the horse is ready. But it has been a great year. Like I said, we've got the right people in the right places to like, and yeah, things are really going well right now.
Will Call set the tone yesterday earlier on in the card in the turf sprint. Must have been nice to get him back to the form he showed at Fairgrounds. Do you think it was just a soft turf last time in the Shakertown?
That's the only thing I could come up with. And, I mean, some horses just don't like the cool and turf course for whatever reason. And, you know, we obviously had a lot of wet weather going into that weekend, and the turf was all, you know, listed as soft. I would have to say that would be the reason. I mean, he was training tremendous going into that race and obviously training well going into yesterday's race. So I had a lot of confidence with him at Keeneland. For whatever reason, he didn't show up. he just didn't run at all that day. He came out of it in great shape and had two fantastic breeze here at Churchill over the turf course. So we thought he was set up for a big effort yesterday. He ran extremely well. I think we found out a little more about him. I mean, he's won very close to the lead. Been setting off of it. I think against these really fast horses, you know, he's a horse that's going to obviously have to set off of it a little bit, and they're going to have to duke it out up front. He's going to have to run them down late like he did yesterday. There was a lot of speed in the race yesterday, and Sean did a tremendous job riding him, putting him in good position and pushing the button when it was time to go, and he responded well for him.
He going to jump on the van when one or more girl come up for the Jiper?
It's very possible, yes. We will look at either the Jiper or the Highlander at Woodbine, but one of those races definitely will look hard at next out for him.
All right. Well, Brad, thanks for some time this morning. I know you're swamped. Have a great Derby. You like anybody today? Who are you liking the Derby?
Yeah, in the Derby, I think I'm pulling for Hofburg, Magna Moon. I like Justify, Audible. It's a deep, deep group, and when you go out here and watch them train, it doesn't really clear anything up. They all look like they're moving pretty well to me. So it's a solid group, and hopefully it's a great Derby and a great finish, and I'm looking forward to it.
And you will be represented later on this afternoon by Arklo in the Turf Classic. Give us a few words about him.
Arklo's doing well. It's a step up. It is his third race off the layoff. He's training tremendous here at Churchill on the turf course. So, you know, we think he'll run well. Like I said, step up. You know, he's going to have to run the best race of his life. But, you know, we think it's in there. Third race off a layoff is an older horse, a four-year-old. Knows the horse very well. So we're excited. We think, you know, and we're getting a little rain here. I don't think it's going to really change the turf course a whole lot. But, you know, he doesn't mind a little cut in the ground. So we'll see what happens. Excited about him.
Beat Good Samaritan last year on Derby Day in the Grade 2 American Turf. Brad Cox, congratulations, buddy. Great job yesterday. Continued success, and we'll talk to you down the line. Enjoy Derby Day.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Brad. Brad Cox taking some time out in the morning to celebrate Mona Moy Girl, the Kentucky Oaks winner from yesterday afternoon. Like I said earlier, she almost wasn't the Kentucky Oaks winner. John Velasquez, the rider of Wonder Godot, claimed foul for the incidents in the stretch. They seemed to bump or graze, as Brad put it, a couple of times. And we had a few words from Johnny Velasquez right after the finish of the Kentucky Oaks.
Well, I thought it was too early. You know, I got the head in front of him. Though, you know, we're fighting down the lane. He comes out and hits my horse sideways. Kind of lost my momentum. He kind of get back and beat me by a head.
Gabby Gaudette was part of the HRRN team this weekend, all week actually, did the countdown shows with the Pontiff Jude Feld, was on our Oaks coverage. She'll do the 4-5 hour with Jude today as well. They're going to cover one of the most loaded, and I mean loaded, renewals of the Pat Day Mile, former Derby trial that I can remember. Johnny V doing, like Brad said, doing what he had to do and claiming foul, disallowed by the stewards in Mona Moy Girl. Is your 2018 144th Kentucky Oaks winner. Actually, 145th Kentucky Oaks winner. They had a split at 1 year. There were so many itself.
Trainer Todd Pletcher back in the Kentucky Derby yet again. He'll saddle four horses on Saturday. Two-time Kentucky Derby winner, Todd Pletcher. Todd, when you hear those words, what comes to mind?
I like the sound of that. You know, it took us a while to get that first one, and, you know, we felt very grateful for that. And then just seemed like another one would really validate that. And so it was, you know, they were both very, very special for different reasons, but very, very thankful that and grateful that, you know, we were able to do that.
For people that have never had the opportunity to be part of something like this, describe the feeling of watching your horse cross the finish line first in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to describe because, you know, it's just there's so many emotions going through your mind at that time. And when you win a big race like that and you just, you know, you're just, and especially like a furlong out, a 16th out, you know, you can't wait for the finish line to get there. And, you know, I've said, like, to me, one of the most special things about winning the Derby twice now is that, you know, getting to share it with your family, especially your parents. And both of my parents are 80 now. And you know, to see the enjoyment and the excitement, you know, and the emotion that they have is part of what makes it really, really fun and special.
Any different last year than when Super Saver won?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was more, you know, Super Saver was a bit of relief. And, you know, I think we're 0-for-24 at that time or whatever it was. So, you know, that was sort of the only thing that everyone talked about when we brought horses to the Derby. So to get that one out of the way, it felt like, you know, okay, the pressure's off. And now, you know, kind of everything from there is a bonus. And, you know, so we felt really good about the way Always Dreaming was coming into the Derby last year. I think, you know, it was – the first time we'd actually started a post-time favorite, and so we felt like we had a really good chance, you know, and so you don't want to let those opportunities get away. So it was a little bit of a different feel than the other ones.
Is there a certain place you like to watch those races, maybe a lucky spot?
Well, I thought I had a lucky TV with Super Saver, but it didn't work out the next year, so I've switched it up. But now, I mean, it's actually a really difficult race to watch, you know, period. And when you have more than one horse in it, to kind of trying to follow everyone. So last year I watched it on the big screen in the paddock, and so I think that's probably what I'll do again this year.
This will be the sixth time that you saddled four or more horses in the Kentucky Derby. The only time that's resulted in a win is with Super Saver. Does that speak to how difficult it really is to win this race?
Yeah, I mean, I've said before that, you know, that it's just because you bring numbers doesn't ensure victory. You know, it's one horse is going to win, and you know, you got to have the right one on that day. And, you know, like I've said, Bluegrass Cat, for example, I mean, he ran as well as he could possibly run. Unfortunately for him, he just landed on the same year as Barbaro. And, you know, I don't think anyone was going to beat Barbaro that day. So a lot of it's about, you know, which crop each horse falls in. And some of these derbies are going to be tougher than others. And, you know, we're fortunate to have had a lot of starters, but we're 0-for-5 in the two that we won, you know. So it's you know, when you bring volume, it kind of puts your stats out of whack a little bit. But at the same time, we've been very fortunate. A lot of these horses that we have brought here have gone on to successful careers afterwards, and a number of them have gone on to be very successful stallions, and that's something we're very proud of.
This is a race that poses so many demands throughout the week, a lot of time obligations, things that you have to do as a trainer that you wouldn't normally do for your average everyday grade one race. Now you come here with four horses, it's magnified even more. How does Todd Pletcher kind of get away from it all a little bit and keep it all together throughout the week?
Well, I haven't been able to identify the way to get away from it, because it's, you know, it's here, and you don't want to miss anything. You don't want to leave any stone unturned. So, you know, when you want to make sure that everything's going smoothly in their daily routine and their gallops and their gate schooling, their paddock schooling, and you know, also want to not lose sight of the fact that we have, you know, a stable to run as well. So I want to stay in contact and communication with my assistants, you know, back home, and you know, we still got a lot of other horses that we're responsible for, and a lot of clients that we're, you know, we owe that to make sure that we're covering all the bases, not only on our Derby horses, but the entire stable.
Put me in your shoes on Derby Day. Take me through the day and then leading up to the race. How does it all work?
Well, it's actually, I mean, Oaks and Derby Day are a little bit unusual in that you have really early post and then a really late post. So, you know, it's a long day. I actually prefer to have some other action, some undercard races to kind of, you know, I think the first time we came to the Derby, we had the four horses in the Derby and that was it. So you just kind of stew on it all day, you know, and it just... So I'd rather keep busy and have some other stuff going on and running some other races. And, you know, there's some important races, too. So that kind of keeps you occupied and keeps you busy so you're not just worrying about the big race all day.
When you make that walkover, you have to determine, I guess, which ownership group you're going to walk with, which horse you're going to walk with. How does that all take place?
You know, it's funny. I haven't sensed that anyone's really too worried about that from an ownership group. And as you know, the walkover now has become borderline out of control. There's just so many people there that you can't hardly keep up with one horse. So I think, you know, at that point, what we're really focused on is we just want the horses to quietly walk over there. And you know, it can be an intimidating scene for people and horses when you're just not accustomed to walking in front of a crowd like you're going to see there. And then my biggest concern is just hoping that the horses stay relaxed and get to the paddock safely. And you don't want anything to go wrong at the last minute.
Some people will say it's difficult just watching one horse in a 20-horse field. How do you keep an eye on all four?
You honestly, you can't. You know, it's you just kind of pick your spots. And, you know, I mean, I'll have a fairly good idea of where I think everyone's going to be positioned going into the first turn, and so that'll help. But you know, it's a lot to keep up with each one, and so, you know, I'll do the best I can to identify where they are, and hopefully it becomes a little more clear when they turn for home and they're all in good position. Hopefully.
Give me one word to describe each of your horses. Audible.
You know, I love his adaptability, you know, the way he ran in the Holy Bull, and he kind of attended to, you know, soft fractions and kicked. And then in the Florida Derby, when the fractions were way too fast, he was able to drop way back. So I think, you know, him being able to adapt to two different pace scenarios should bode well for him, you know, in a race like this. And I also think he's pretty agile, which is going to help Javier be able to, you know, make some moves in critical places. And, you know, to have a horse that you can ask to make a couple of different moves during the course of a race, especially when you're trying to get position you want, I think is a big asset.
Vino Rosso.
He's relentless. The one thing that we felt very strongly about with Vino Rosso is the mile and a quarter is what he's wanting. And, you know, his pedigree certainly says that. And I think, you know, he showed that in the wood, which was his first chance to go a mile and an eighth. And so we've been looking forward to getting him stretched out and, you know, hopefully he continues to develop that way.
Magna Moon?
Athletic, you know, has tactical speed, also can set off of it. I think, you know, he's come a long way in a short period of time, and a lot of that's just based on, you know, his athleticism and raw ability. But, you know, I think that the 16 post is actually good for him. It should get him into the race where he can kind of get into that stalking position that I think he'd prefer more so than being on the lead like he was in the Arkansas Derby.
And Noble Indy?
I would say he's quirky. And, you know, that's one of the things that worries me on race day with him is – of the group, he's the one that we've had to spend the most time paddock schooling, the most time gate schooling, and I'm really pleased with the way he's been handling it. I just hope he can, you know, he can continue that, you know, on the big day, and if he does, I think he'll kind of exceed expectations.
Finish this sentence for me. To win a third Kentucky Derby would be
awesome, I guess. You know, I just you know, like it. To me, just with the group of owners that we have represented here, you know, and Mike Rapoli, you know, it would mean so much to him and his family, and Robert and LaJuana Lowe, and, you know, and their families, and, you know, you can just see the excitement on their faces to be here, and to, you know, to be here with horses that are doing well and have a legitimate chance is you know, it's great to see, and so you know. Sometimes for me, it's you know, them enjoying the moment, it means as much to me as me winning the race.
your first Derby was in 2000, and you started four horses that day. How much different is Todd Pletcher now as a trainer than on that day in 2000?
That's a great question, and I think a difficult one to answer. You know, I mean, I look back at all the Derbies recently, and you know, we had two horses run great races that day. More Than Ready actually made the lead and at the top of the stretch, and you know, I think ran as well as he could possibly run. He just didn't really want a mile and a quarter, and Impeachment came running late for third, and you know, so I think for our first Derby it was a pretty good result. But you know, I think the one thing that people I'm not sure fully understand about the Derby is just because you as a trainer have come here year after year, you obviously gain some experience that way, but every year is a new horse. And so, you know, what may have worked for More Than Ready in 2000 might have nothing to do with what would work for Vino Rosso in 2018. So, you know, I think you can learn some of the do's and don'ts and you know, kind of learn the schedule a little bit and things like that, and when to paddock school and when to gate school and when not to, and you know, some simple things like that. But as far as, you know, each year you're bringing a new player, which, you know, is a different athlete and with different needs altogether. So, you know, I think me personally, you know, I don't know that I'm a lot different. I do think that you know, I've learned some of the idiosyncrasies of the Derby, but like I said, I think you have to keep an open mind and train each horse, you know, according to what you think they need, as opposed to what you know, happened to work for someone else or another horse or another trainer and those types of things.
What are some of those idiosyncrasies that you mentioned?
Well, one of the things that changed since we first came here is the you know, the Derby training hours, which have been very beneficial. I think, you know, it makes it more convenient for us. And for example, I was talking to Bill Mott earlier. One of the great things about it is that you get to go to the gate, stand at the gate. You know, we used to be just part of the normal routine, and so you might go take your horse back to stand at the gate for the Derby, and might find yourself in a line of 15 or 16 horses that are, you know, babies galloping out and, you know, first timers and all these other things. And so, you know, that's been one positive change, and just, you know, making sure that, you know, the paddock schooling and all that, kind of the optimal times to do that. And you know, I think you kind of have to remind yourself that this is just, you know, it is a horse race. It's happens to be the most important one in the United States anyways, but, you know, don't deviate from what normally works for you and try to maintain that routine and that schedule.
Does Todd Pletcher still get some anxious moments when the horses are loading into the gate?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I especially when things are kind of out of your control, you know, like when you're once you put the rider up, it's over. Your preparation is over, and it's all out of your hands at that point.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Stay inside is My Boy Jack. My Boy Jack is coming with a long run. Lone Sailor looks to battle My Boy Jack in the final furlong. Noble Indy toward the inside. Give me a minute, then Snapper Sinclair. It's Lone Sailor, Noble Indy, My Boy Jack toward the rail. Noble Indy and Lone Sailor, Noble Indy to win the Louisiana Derby from Lone Sailor in a photo finish. My Boy Jack loomed at the quarter pole, was third. Give me a minute, Snapper Sinclair. We trail back to Hindford with Retirement Fund. Not today for Bravazo, Dark Templar, and Marmarlo, who led in the early stages. Marmello was last home.
Tom, when you first got that call that Tom had left us, what were some of the things that immediately came to mind?
Well, I gave a lot of thought to not only what he's meant to me.
Let me do this. Sorry.
What he's meant to me, but what he's meant to the city of New Orleans. You know, having grown up with the Saints since their inception, I'm 56 years old. That was the one thing that my dad and I used to do a lot together, was go to the Saints games. And my brothers as well. I'm one of six boys. I'm the fifth of the six boys in my family. And that was an event that we were always a big part of. And so, you know, Mr. Benson gave us that. And, of course, he eventually gave us a Super Bowl. I think I speak for a lot of New Orleanians when I say you know, he gave us the greatest gift of all.
It's a good point. Talk about his impact on the city of New Orleans.
Well, everybody knows about the Saints and the Pelicans, but what a lot of people don't know about is the philanthropic side of Mr. Benson and all the different organizations that he got behind financially and got involved with both he and Gail. And I mean, I could go on and on about him, but look, the inner city, the Catholic school system, the archdiocese, those were three very big things to him. But they're too many to count. He was a great ambassador for the city and an example of someone that gave back.
How about his impact on racing? How would you describe that?
A lot of people don't know that Mr. Benson had a stable of horses up until 1979. And when he bought the New Orleans Saints, he then put all of his energy into the New Orleans Saints, and he disbanded that stable. So his venture back into racing was reigniting a passion he has always had. The horses were his first franchise.
Wow. What kind of owner was he?
Great guy. Great guy. He treated me like he treats his executives at the Saints and at the Pelicans. He gets out of your way and lets you do your job. He wants to be informed. Mrs. Benson, Gail, has picked up and has followed that. I get to speak with her. You know, look, the Louisiana Derby was the day after his funeral, and she did not come out to the race. But I got a really wonderful text from her that night after we ran a very close second to Noble Indy. And it's just something that I'll always remember, that text I got that night. It was it made me feel in my own way that I had given a little something back for all the things that they had given, not only me, but the city.
Look back on that Louisiana Derby day. How emotional was that morning and the hours leading up to the race?
I'll never forget it. I'd gone to the funeral the day before, Friday. I've never experienced anything like that. It was at the St. Louis Cathedral, which is probably our biggest church in downtown New Orleans. And it was a who's who of the sports world. It was packed. And when we left the church, the reception was about three blocks away. So as a group, the church walked down the street to get to the reception. And to my amazement, when the church doors opened and we stepped out into the sunlight, people were lined on the streets, signs, well wishes. They all wanted to be a part of saying goodbye to Mr. Benson, and they were so respectful. I mean, you're talking about some very famous people walking down that street. They all stayed on the sidewalks. They applauded, and it was just one of those New Orleans events that that'll always stay fresh in my mind. After the reception, I went home that night, and I began to really start to stress about Lone Sailor the next day. In the back of my mind, I thought he would run a good race. I wanted it to happen so badly, and you know, look, I know God has a lot of things on his mind, and horse racing is the last thing in the world, and I've never asked him for anything, but I asked him that night. I said, you know, I need some help. I want this horse to run a good race. And the next morning, a voice in my head just kept saying over and over, you know, do you believe? And I couldn't get that voice out of my head. I went running that morning, which I do a lot of times to alleviate stress when the morning was done for training. And that voice came back in my head when they passed the finish line. You know, my guy, he ran a big race that day, best of his career. You know, I do believe. So maybe we'll see him step up again come Saturday.
All right, so we talked about the Louisiana Derby.
Mm-hmm.
So they come down to the line. There's Noble Indy, there's Lone Sailor, mm-hmm. and the margin is so close. Mm-hmm. The emotions had to hit you like a ton of bricks right after the race, I can imagine.
It did. I was two different people after the race. A lot of emotions and excited. I knew we'd stamped our ticket to the Kentucky Derby, and there was a lot to be said for that. But the trainer side of me was trying to evaluate the race and understand how a horse like Lone Sailor could make the lead with such authority at the top of the stretch and then give it back. And I was immediately thinking, what happened? Why did it happen? How can I try and correct that if I'm lucky enough to be in that position in the Kentucky Derby? And there are going to be two trains of thought there. I mean, the one is going to be, and I get it, hey, you know, he might have a problem with the distance, and that's why he did that. But you've got to know Lone Sailor. He's physically, he's a very imposing, mature horse, but mentally, he's just the opposite. He doesn't understand racing. I've worked a lot on that with him over the last 6 months. And this is really the first time, other than his dominant victory at Saratoga in August, that he's been in a position where he's made the lead on a group of horses. And he did not know what to do. James had to get him reengaged, which he fortunately did, and attacked Noble Indy again. And they went down to the wire together. But you cannot replace the experience of a race. And I'm hoping that experience on Louisiana Derby Day comes into play again, and he gets even better for the Kentucky Derby. Look, he needs to get better to be a factor in the Kentucky Derby.
Gail is going to be at the Kentucky Derby. You told me that she actually won't be coming in till Saturday, but for good reason.
Yeah, so the Pelicans are in the playoffs, and they play the Golden State Warriors. And so they've got games all this week. And leading into that series, when it looked like the Pelicans were going to make it to the second round, they were up 3-0 against Portland. They need to win one more game to sweep the series, which they did. And there's a very strong rumor out there, and I believe it to be true, that Mrs. Benson called the commissioner and said, hey, in this next series, I need you to keep Saturday, that first Saturday in May, open for us because I want to go see the Kentucky Derby. I have a horse running in the Derby. And he respected their wishes, and they arranged the games around that, so they'll play on Friday and play on Sunday.
Will she make the walkover?
That's a good question. I don't know that she'll make the walkover. I don't have a good answer for that. I haven't heard anything.
Sitting in the box with her, watching the horse load into the starting gate right before the race, that moment, I don't even know if you've thought that far ahead yet, but that's going to be an emotional moment.
Yeah, look, I think everybody carries their own thoughts into that moment. For me, they're too many to count. I think a lot about, you know, coming onto the racetrack and starting as a hot walker and working my way up. I had no connections in the industry whatsoever. And I think about all the people that helped me when I was learning my trade, just, you know, the owners along the way, just so many things that went my way. I guess it's true of all businesses, but this is the only one I've ever done. You know, not only do you need to be talented at what you do, but you need to get some good breaks. I got a lot of good breaks along the way.
Where did your relationship with Galantine begin?
Well, my brother's the team doctor for the Saints. My oldest daughter is the videographer of the Saints and the Pelicans. And I've known Mr. Benson back when he had horses originally on the racetrack before he owned the Saints, just to say hello. So the real connection came when their vice president, Greg Bensel, decided that it would be a good venture to get back into horse racing and came up with this plan of trying to buy yearlings and using Louisiana or New Orleans-based guys, myself, Al Stahl, Dallas Stewart, and presented to Mr. Benson. He was all in when that happened. And, you know, they've done a lot since then. Not only have they bought the horses, but they now have a farm in Lexington. They're raising babies right now. They've bred some mares. And Gail is fully behind that. And they used to come up here and spend about 1 weekend a month up on the farm just to get away from everything. So this is not something where we're writing the last chapter on Saturday. We're just writing the first chapter of the Benson, you know, involvement in horse racing.
How much does Tom Amos want to win this race on Saturday?
You know, I don't play games with the mental thoughts that go through my head. Of course, you know, I can't lie. I've imagined winning a race like this. What trainer hasn't? But I try to be realistic, and I try not to let the highs be too high and the lows, meaning when you don't win a race, be too low. Of course I want to win it. It would be my biggest dream come true. I've dreamt of something like this since I was a kid. You know, when other kids were imagining throwing the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, I wanted to train horses. I saw my first Derby in 1979. It was kind of an era where younger people were really making a stamp in the business. Coffin had just won the Triple Crown. He was 16 or 17 years old. Ronnie Franklin rode Spectacular Bid that year, my first Derby. He was a kid also. It gave me hope, even though those were jockeys, that, you know, maybe there's a place for me. And it was always my motivation as I was working my way up.
Speaking of jockeys, you may be giving a leg up to a jockey who could potentially win his first Derby race.
Yeah, look, it's his first Derby mount, right?
Yeah.
So it is James's first Derby mount. We have a long history together. He's earned this mount. I must have gotten 5 or 6 calls from people wanting to ride this horse. There was no temptation there. James earned the mount. He's ridden him well both times. I know he's going to be nervous, and that's understandable. But I also know when the gate opens, you know, his instincts will take over and he'll ride the right race.
You subscribe to the fact that maybe it won't just be James on the horse. Maybe there'll be an angel on Lone Sailor's shoulders too.
You know, I've gone back and looked at charts, Derby after Derby, and when you're come from behind her like my horse is, the thought that you're just going to get a clean trip and everything's going to go your way is a little unrealistic. So you need to have a little faith in the horse gods that they're behind you. I think the last horse that I saw get the clean trip from way back is Mind That Bird. And my gosh, what a trip that was. I watched the aerial of that race, and it was like everything that needed to go right went exactly right. So you better believe when it comes to winning the Derby, there's a little extra help that's happening for whoever's going to win it.
Yeah, let's hope it's a little help from above. Good
luck
on Saturday.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, good luck.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
You know, on a side note, Lone Sailor was the subject of a pretty neat special during the Saratoga meet last year. Tom was doing some work for Naira TV and actually had Tom mic'd up when he saddled Lone Sailor for the first time. He was pretty forthright saying the horse was probably going to need a race, and he did, and he came back and broke his maiden in his second start. So it was nice to give the public a little bit of an insight into what goes into the preparation and then the actual events in the paddock. And you could probably find that on YouTube. It was a really neat special that they had did live with Lone Sailor in his debut. We'll see if he can get the Derby gods to give him a little help a little later on this afternoon at Churchill Downs. Speaking of Churchill Downs in Louisville, when we come back, we'll hear from the Baron himself, Mike Penna, who's going to check in with a live report from Louisville. We'll get a little look to the weather, get a feel for what it was like on Oaks Day, and what to expect in our 5.5 hours of undercard and Kentucky Derby coverage later on this afternoon. You're listening to the Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience. Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip was North America's number one ranked second crop sire by earnings in January of 2018. Represented this year by exciting stakes place three-year-olds Upset Brewing and Blushing Justine, along with Riano Tesoro. Now 3-for-4 lifetime after taking the 36 million yen Crocus Stakes at Tokyo Racecourse on January 27th. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. 7-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner Dre Fong
has won.
Canadian Classic hero Sir Dudley Diggs
has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist Runtime.
But Runtime, motors on the outside.
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together, and Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby!
Nyquist rolled through the stretch at Churchill Downs to become the first champion two-year-old to win the Derby undefeated since the great Triple Crown winner Seattle Slew. And that win in the 2016 Run for the Roses makes Nyquist your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley is the only farm to stand three Kentucky Derby winners, Nyquist, Animal Kingdom, and Street Sense. Street Sense became the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Kentucky Derby, followed in 2016 by Nyquist, who accomplished the same feat while remaining undefeated. Animal Kingdom roared to victory in the 2011 Derby before retiring as a Grade 1 horse on dirt, turf, and synthetic. To learn more about Nyquist, Animal Kingdom, Street Sense, and all the Darley stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Here's Good Magic right alongside of Flame Away to the top of the stretch. Sporting Chances third, Free Drop Billy fourth is still five lengths away. And Good Magic has taken the lead from Flame Away coming toward the final furlong. Gap of three, Sporting Chance in third. Free Drop Billy fighting on but fourth. Good Magic with the lead. Flame Away giving everything he's got but second. Sporting Chance third, Free Drop Billy in fourth. Blended Citizen and fifth. Good Magic to the front of the field in the Toyota Bluegrass to win it for Chad Brown and Jose Ortiz in 1 minute 36 and 4/5 seconds for the mile, 150 and 18 hundredths for the 9 furlongs.
The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Eclipse Champion and Bluegrass winner Good Magic currently on the board at 8-1 for Kentucky Derby 144. You just heard Kurt Becker on the call, the voice of Keeneland. He'll be with the Baron, Mike Penna, on our broadcast today. 2-5 for the undercard, 5-7:30, presented in conjunction with Westwood One and NBC Sports. And nice enough to join us now on the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com, is the president of the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Baron, Mike Penna, as we are 8 hours, 50 minutes, and 36 seconds away. Happy Derby, Baron.
Hey, well done with the countdown, Big A. You know, it's funny. I've been doing interviews with radio stations all over the country over the past couple of days, and I was telling everybody yesterday that I was so excited that I was invited to appear on Horse Racing Radio Network and the Equine Forum with the Big A, Anthony Stabile. So thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, we were able to, Chad Brown wanted to come on. I said, no, Johnny V, Mike Smith, I said, no, I got to have Mike Penna on. He's going to have tremendous insight from Louisville today. So, Baron, take a look up what's going on right now weather-wise.
Well, we did have some rain come through a little while ago, but currently it is not raining. There are showers forecast throughout the afternoon. We have gray skies. It's kind of dreary looking out there. The ground is still wet. Leaves are still dripping with water. It's just one of those kind of days right now. And according to the forecast that we saw earlier today, we're looking at about a 70% chance of showers throughout much of the afternoon. And I just think it's going to be one of those derbies where we have these showers rolling through from time to time. Don't think it's going to be a total washout where we're going to have a constant rain for hours on end, but I do think that you're going to see some showers, and it won't surprise me a bit if this track does not get a chance to dry out and we end up with a wet track for the Kentucky Derby.
You've been to far more derbies than I have. I know the 2 years Christine and I were down there in 08 and 09, a ton of rain the day before and the morning of. In 08, the sun came out. Track was muddy for the first. By the time the fifth race rolled around, they had to add a water truck. The exact opposite happened the next year. It was sloppy. Sun never came out. It was gray and dreary all day. Track never dried out. Sloppy. Mind that bird up the inside. The weather really plays a big role down there, I think more so than any place else I've really seen.
Well, it does. And this is a track that drains extremely well. We've talked about that the past couple of years. You remember even last year where we had a wet afternoon on Kentucky Oaks Day, and then it rained Kentucky Oaks night and into the morning on Derby morning. And by the time we got to post time, we were looking at a solid racetrack. It wasn't soaking wet because the track does drain very well. This year, though, with that forecast and the way that these skies look right now, and with the showers supposed to just keep rolling through in waves throughout the afternoon, I think you could pretty much expect that we're going to have a wet racetrack for many of the races and likely the Kentucky Derby as well.
All right. Well, the weather is out of our hands, obviously, but we have set up shop at Churchill Downs since Tuesday. We had our countdown shows all week. You guys have been down there. Jude did the weekend stakes preview with me on Thursday morning. You've been the eyes and the ears for HRR and Nation for the better part of this week. It's a wide open board, Mike. Right now, and I've been on the network saying that this was going to be 2-1 justifies the lukewarm favorite at 7-2. You see a lot of surprise money. I think I just figured it out, by the way. I think between all of the parents who have Jacks, the Jacks in the world, and the NBC hit television show, This Is Us, the main character, Jack Pearson, I think that's where all the Jack money has come from.
Yeah, and apparently the wine drinkers aren't getting on board with Vino Rosso, but yeah, I mean, my boy Jack, this was the biggest surprise. 30-1 on the morning line. Last I looked, he was around 5-1.
That's what he is.
That's just, you know, absurd. That's a lot of money coming into the pool on this one horse. So somewhere, somebody is really liking my boy Jack. And look, this is a horse that, in my opinion, Big A, I don't know if you agree, but he is not without a shot. He has a great late kick, and if he can get clear sailing late, he can be in the mix. And then anything can happen. You just have to put yourself in position. And who knows? Maybe some other horses get tired in front of him. I looked at him initially as a horse that was just going to pick up the pieces and be one of those trifecta, superfecta horses that, you know, kind of closes and gets in there for the spots underneath. But if everything breaks his way, and who's to say it won't, this is a horse that could certainly be wearing the roses at the end of the mile and a quarter today.
Yeah, one of 12 or 13 that I think can actually, maybe even 14, that can get the money. Who's caught your eye and who's caught the team's eye the most this week down at Churchill?
I was really impressed with the appearances of Vino Rosso, Bolt Doro. He looked great in the mornings as well. And Hoffberg. I love the way Hoffberg is getting over this tracking and coming into the race. I know he's lightly raced, but so is Justify, so is Magnum Moon, and at least Hoffberg doesn't have to worry about that Apollo curse because he did have a start at 2. I think he's a sneaky long shot play, and I don't even know if he's going to be a long shot anymore because every time I turn on the radio and listen to a show or I turn on the television here and watch the morning shows locally, everybody's talking about Hoffberg. Everybody seems to be on his bandwagon as maybe the wise guy horse, so I don't know what kind of price he's going to be, but those are the three that have really jumped off the page to me. Vino Rosso, when he was on the track in the mornings, was just full of himself. I mean, he was on his toes. He looked spectacular. His coat was incredible. And let's face it, he has a pedigree that screams a mile and a quarter, and he made a great run in that Wood Memorial. If he can run back to that performance, I think he figures right there.
You know it's a wide-open derby when the Juvenile and Eclipse Champ, Good Magic, is 8-1. And the other two horses that were finalists for the Eclipse Award for 2-year-old last year, you know, Mike, we don't see this very often where this happens, that the three horses that were nominated actually make it to the Derby field. But Bolt Doro is 9-1, and Solemn Mini, 63-1. On Bob Baffert just 3 years ago, that could be those very silks crossed the Twin Spires and the finish line first aboard American Pharaoh.
Yeah, how about that? How often do we see this in racing where a trainer brings a couple of horses into a big race and there's one horse that is more highly regarded, takes all the money, and it's the other one that gets overlooked that ends up winning the race? We've seen it repeatedly in big races. We've seen it repeatedly in the Kentucky Derby. Solomini is a good horse. And he ran a big race. His numbers were solid coming out of that Arkansas Derby when he was beaten by Magnum Moon and Quip. He's got to do a little bit better. He does have to improve, but he has a nice running style for the Kentucky Derby. You can see him being placed in that second flight of horses behind the early speed and getting first run on some of the closers. So when you look at his numbers and the way that he has run throughout much of his career, it wouldn't be a shock at all if Solomini is one of those horses that breaks in to the top two or three with a big run here this afternoon.
All right, who do you like?
So I'm on the Vino Rosso bandwagon. I also like Bolt Doro. I've been getting text messages from a lot of friends over the past couple of days and asking me for selections, and I've given them my top four. I've just kind of hit copy and paste and sent the same text because it's not going to change. Vino Rosso, Bolt Doro. You know, Audible is a horse that I'm sticking with. I loved him in the Florida Derby. I loved him in the Holy Bull. I like the way he accelerates away from horses. And if he can get clear sailing, my concern with him is his pedigree, of course. He doesn't have a pedigree that screams a mile and a quarter by any stretch of the imagination. But if he can find a way to develop that same kick that he's produced at a mile and an eighth, like in the Florida Derby, Audible is certainly high on my list. And then Hoffberg is the one to round out the top four for me.
Well, I'm dead. We have three of the same top four.
You have no chance different. To win.
Vino Rosso and Good Magic are the only things we're doing different. And I've been saying it on the network all week. I'm actually, man, you know me better than most. I like to take a stand. I'm making an 8-horse trifecta box today because I'm pitching all three favorites. You're on the same page. No Mendelsohn or Justify Love, huh?
No, you know Mendelsohn was always kind of that wild card. He was on the fence for me. I'm just going to try and beat him. He could win this thing by 7 or 8 lengths. He could run last. I really don't know what to do with him, but I'm going to take a stand against him. I look at the performance of Rhea in yesterday's Kentucky Oaks, where she was, what, second to last. She didn't fire at all. I wonder exactly what he beat. I kind of question the quality of the UAE Derby. Yeah, he did it by 18 lengths. He beat an inferior group the way you're supposed to beat them, and he ran up the score. Look, he could win this thing. He could win it by 7 or 8, but you can't play everybody. So I'm going to take a stand against Mendelsohn. I'm going to take a stand against Justify and say, okay, yeah, the whole Apollo Curse thing, that is what it is. But he's facing a lot of horses in this race. It's a whole different game. It's a mile and a quarter. There's going to be some pace pressure. I'm going to take a stand against him. And Magnum Moon, look, he's been getting out a little bit in his races. Super, super talented. He's really, really good. He could win this thing too, but you can't play them all. I'm going to take a stand against him. He's probably going to be too short of a price for me.
All right, Baron. Thanks for checking in. Great job yesterday. Great job with the Todd Pletcher and Tom Amos interviews we heard earlier today.
They were fun, huh? Those guys were great. I mean, Pletcher was amazing. Amos talking about the whole Tom Benson angle with this year's Derby. My thanks to them for taking the time, and they were just spectacular. Real quick plug before you let me go. 2 o'clock Eastern here on the network will kick things off. Sirius XM 93 affiliates, Lexington, Louisville, across the country, of course, streaming on our site. And then we segue into our coverage with NBC Sports and Westwood One, our exclusive Derby coverage, which begins at 5. So we basically go from 2 to 7:30 straight through. But at 5 o'clock, we'll have, 170, 180-plus stations around the country joining us, too. So going to be a big afternoon and excited to kick it all off. And by the way, the undercard coverage, all presented by our friends at TwinFires.com.
All right, go get yourself carved up and ready for a big day. Thanks for some time this morning. The boss had to stay off of her horse, Vino Rosso. He's Mike Penna, president of the Horse Racing Radio Network. He'll be anchoring our coverage from 2 to 7:30 today of the Kentucky Derby and the undercard. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for taking the reins on the Equine Forum this morning. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the Derby.
You too, Baron. Thank you. All right, one more break, and we'll come back and wrap up this Derby Day edition of the Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
International Super Sire Warfront.
Among his 34 stakes horses in 2017 were Grade 1 winners American Patriot, Avin, Roly-Poly, War Flag, and Europe's champion 2-year-old colt, U.S. Navy Flag. Last year, Warfront was the nation's number one sire in multiple categories. In the sales ring, his yearlings continue to bring prices well over $1 million. Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Power.
Tapazar's going to keep Royal Trip at bay, and Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
It is all Monoboy Girl to take the Central Bank Ashland.
Performance.
Midnight Bizu is third on the far outside. It's Wonder Gadot, and on the inside, Monoboy Girl. It's down to these two, and it's going to be Monoboy Girl in the Kentucky Oaks.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is Tappet's leading miler, breaking his maiden by 10.5 lengths as a 2-year-old, wiring the Grade 3 Sham Stakes by 4.5 lengths at 3, and running away with the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. A top five third crop sire, now with more than $5 million in progeny earnings, including Monomoy Girl, a game winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Kentucky Oaks at Churchill Downs. Tapazar, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
Back to the Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, filling in for the Baron and the Pontiff again. Coverage starts at 2, Sirius XM 93, streaming live right here at HorseRacingRadio.net. Kentucky Derby undercard, followed by our Kentucky Derby exclusive coverage of 144th running of the Run for the Roses, presented in conjunction with Westwood One and NBC Sports. Thanks to all of our guests this morning. I like Hofberg, folks. Bill Mott showing a tremendous amount of confidence in the lightly raced son of Tappet. Just the fourth start of his career. He moved forward off his maiden win. He ran very well in the Florida Derby. I'll take Hofberg. Going to use Bolt Doro, Good Magic, and Audible underneath. All of the prep work is done. It's time for Kentucky Derby 144. Thanks to Todd Pletcher, Tom Amos, Brad Cox, Steve Grabowski, and the Baron, Mike Penna. Our producer, Lee Delapina, is doing a fine job all week. He's been down in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, getting ready to bring you all of the coverage later on this afternoon. Keep an eye to the sky. A little rain in the area right now. It's been a fantastic morning. Figures to be an even better day. I hope you win all your photo finishes. Happy Derby 144 comes to you starting at 2 here on HRRN.
Trainer, 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 trainer.